Thank you, Miss Yorgi. Amen. I don't know if you know this or not, but Miss Yorgi was one of my teenagers in my youth group. And I had the pleasure of serving in that place for about 5 years after leaving Bible college. It was my home church, and got several of those young people that came to Bible college and have graduated now and are serving here, and appreciate her, and appreciate her service here at Landmark. I didn't think I'd be nervous, amen. Say, you know, I mean, I preached here before, amen, and but I never have preached since I've become the pastor and your pastor. And so I will say this, I've had a lot of folks, let me say thank you to everyone that's invested in my family and just been a blessing to us, and some things that really have kind of helped me, you know, over the last few weeks and months, and as we knew that some of this was coming, even before we got, pastor had been preparing, and so I've had a lot of folks that just encourage me, thank you for that, and my wife and I and our family, and so thank you for that. We'll still need that, and pray for us, if you would, as we try to take the helm and take the ship and steer it right and hold it true. I've had a great example that I'm able to follow, and what a man of God, amen. And I've emulated him for a long time, and now it's my turn to slip the shoes on and to carry and toe the line. And again, I know this, and I wanted to tell you this morning. You know, this church has always been, and our pastor did a much better job than I ever could say it. This church has never been one man. This church has always been about one man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the pictures that he showed and the things that broke him up were not just the pictures of things that were built, but all the people that built it with him. And the job that I've been able to step into and that you've called me to is one of service, and to continue to serve you just at a different level here in this ministry. And so I ask you again to pray for me as I try to serve you like my pastor has, and to be what I ought to be for you. And over the last few days, I've had a lot of folks. Our world is in, I mean, because of the last election and the umpteen executive orders that have come down, I think sometimes we look at the world and worry about what we're facing, not just as a church, but the world's always been crazy, folks. Amen. They haven't taken us into the arena yet and turned lines on us yet, all right? We're still a long way off from that here in America, and I want you to know, as long as there's free course to preach, we'll preach. And then when it isn't free course, we'll preach on. All right, and so I want you to know that, you know, for many of you that worry about the things that are censored, we'll do our best to get around those things, and we'll preach on. And when we go beyond that, some of you are like, you got to be careful what you say. How could I ever censor? I'm but God's mouthpiece. How could we censor his word? How could we ever, and how could I follow a man like our pastor and then hush up the things that I know that I must speak? So please, as a church, we've always stood together in every battle, and I ask you to go with us that way. I ask you to stand with us. Amen. When we take a stand, stand with us. Amen. And that's, and again, and then Landmark Baptist Church will still be what it's always been. Amen. It'll still go on, and people will still look to us. And it'll be a light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ right where we are. For the tape room, I'll preach a message this morning out of John chapter 14. And for the tape room and for the website, you can put on there, deleting doubts. Deleting doubts. Amen. John 14. And if you would, I'd like to ask my Lord and Savior to help me one more time before I preach his message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you, God, again, and I ask you to just hide me behind the cross, to use me as your messenger, boy. God, I know that this is the message that you've given me for your church, and I pray, God, that today that it'd be evident to them. I pray that if there's one that has found their way into the building this morning that is lost, that they could not leave without receiving Jesus as their Savior because of the Word of God and because of the truth that's found therein. God, I pray that you just do a work that I can't do. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would bring conviction upon God's people today in whatever area that they need to grow. I pray that you would do the work that I cannot do. God, help me to be what I can be. Use me as your vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 14, in the very first verse, is where we're going to begin. But I want to say this in introduction. Sometimes introductions are longer than the message. I hope it's not that way this morning. Amen. And I have, when I'm nervous, or and many of you have been here when I put the lapel mic on. I did not put the lapel mic on this morning because when I'm nervous, I don't stand still. And I'm doing my best to stay in this place so that everyone can hear. It is my way to keep it, but it's never been my preacher's way. And he said, I'd like to run around like you did too, but people can't always hear. And so I think it's more important that you hear the word of God than you see me run around, okay? And so I may take off and have to come back to it today, but I just want to say this. I believe we look in our country and deleting things. When we think about deleting different things, that most of us go to a computer because that's what we deleted on our phone, and electronically we knock things out and delete those things and they're gone. But folks, I know that most of you realize, and if we were to get Brother Jeremiah Morgan down here to testify to this, things are never really gone when you delete them. I mean, if you found somebody that knew what they were doing, they could still get at whatever you got rid of. I mean, if you spent enough money, you could go deep enough, back far enough, and that thing is, if this computer that God built can draw up everything, then those computers that they built, listen, I'm here to tell you, they can get at it. If they just had the technology, whatever you deleted, it's in there. Because see, when you delete things, you're just simply covering it up with something else. You're just wiping it away, and it doesn't go away. It's still there somewhere. It just is overlaid with a clean piece of paper, if I could say it that way. In our world today, we've had a president take office, and he is trying to do his best to delete all the good things that the past president has done. We can clearly see in the Gospels and throughout the Bible that God, and our pastor said it probably better than I can do it today, but he said, you know, God has risen up good kings before Israel, and then a bad one would rise up. And a good king would come and a bad king would come. As we rode in on the bus this morning, as we were picking up our kids, we had one of the young ladies start to cry about what gas prices have done. And I said, there ain't no need to cry yet. Because they're headed higher than they are right now. They ain't going to stop, folks. You know, and I'm not trying to be a prophet, but I don't think you got to be a prophet to know that the gas gauge is going to. I mean, again, how long ago? Wasn't that long ago? Just another previous president, and it was up over $4. When I came back here to serve in this ministry, I remember buying way over $4 diesel fuel to drive my vehicle all the way to Florida. You say, Brother Parsons, what in the world? Well, we've had a nice little lull. And there's a person that's signing every executive order that he can to delete what the past president has done. But he's not really deleting it, folks. It's still there in history. Now, whoever writes the history sometimes, but, you know, I thank God for God's book, and God tells the truth. Now, some of our historians as of late don't really care about what the truth is, but their perception thereof. So as we go forward, we're the truth seekers. We're the ones that want to tell it straight. We're the ones that want to pen it down. That's why we have a curriculum over here where we can write it down. And at least somewhere on planet Earth, there's straight history in a history book. Amen. They may have to seek after it and find out where it is. But listen, I'm here to tell you, somebody's writing good history down to tell the generations to come, not what they want them to hear, but what the truth is. Here we find the disciples with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've come to a place. I mean, you know, we're going to find doubting Thomas making his statement of doubt. And I mean, you know, and I know that Thomas there, you know, he had some faith as well. I don't want to, but we've termed him the doubting Thomas, and you realize who he is. But here there's going to be some doubts. Can I just say, I believe that what God put in my heart to preach this morning, I believe there's doubters in this world. I believe there are people, when they saw what happened in our presidential election, they doubt that God is still on the throne. They doubt that God's hand is real and that he's moving and setting up kings and taking down kings. They doubt him. They doubt his power. How could God allow this to happen? Because he's sovereign and because he don't answer to you. He is ruling and reigning in this world, and he will do what seems good unto him to bring all things together in his time for the Lord Jesus to come back for his church. Amen. You say, well, it looks like he's coming. I believe he is as well. But listen, there's no need to doubt God's power.
I believe the gospel still has the power to save, just like it did all those years ago when God reached down for you and saved you right where you were. I don't believe that the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been limited by any executive order that has been signed in this presidency and any before it. God's power through his gospel still stands, and we must give it. We must delete doubt. Now look here, after the funeral yesterday, I just thought about, this is one of the great places that you go when you're looking for a funeral sermon. And there in verse 1, I mean, I thought about all the things that could be said and all the things that could be read. And I thought, man, you know, this is one of them, because the people are doubting. They're worried. There's fear. There's concern. And as a Christian, we shouldn't be deleting all the good things. We should be looking at all the good things, all the blessings of God, all the praises of his name, all the promises that are in the book, because they're still real, folks. Amen. Now, I find this to be, you know, I heard this little story about a little girl and her daddy walking at night. Amen. And I think sometimes when we deal with little children, sometimes little children have, they're not encumbered by all the worries that we have as adults. All the financial worries. How is this going to affect us? What's the stock market going to do? Hey, man, we're all worried about those things. And we understand. I get it, folks. I get those are real worries. But I know sometimes a little kid will put us in our place because they're not carrying all those worries. And they'll say it just as true as they can say it. That little girl walked with her daddy and they were out and they were just on a walk. Dad was thinking about all the cares of the day. Thinking about all the worries and the things that had to be paid and all the things that were coming. He might even have been thinking about the president that just took office. The little girl looked up at the sky and all the beautiful stars that were shining. And she was thinking about how good God was and how powerful he must have been to set all those things in its place. How it had order and how they twinkled and how they were just the most beautiful thing. And she said, Daddy, have you ever thought about if the bottom side of heaven looks this beautiful, what does the top side look like? Amen. Sometimes in our lives, we, from this earthly perspective, we get to doubt because we're not looking on the top side of things. And we have a book that reveals the things that are on the top side of this life. You know, the world doesn't have that. They can only look at the things that God has created that sometimes at some point he'll wipe away. But we have been revealed through God's word some heavenly things. Some things that we have to look forward to that the lost man doesn't have to look forward to. A place to be with our God that they may never see if they don't receive Jesus as their Savior. And here in red letters, in the very first verse of the chapter, we see the Lord Jesus say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I like this. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And then the doubter speaks up. At least it wasn't Peter. He was quiet. He had just got put in his place in the last chapter. I mean, he just was like, Lord, I will go with you unto death. And the Lord said, oh, yeah? You're going to deny me thrice before the day's over. So he's already said his piece. Don't think that Peter was being quiet. All right. He had already said his piece. Now it's Thomas's turn. And Thomas says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to just take a little bit of time and go back to the verse. I know I'll be very expository today and maybe not as topical as I began. But in the very first verse, I see some things for us. And again, he deals with God is going to tell us. God is always going to talk about what he wants from us. Especially here. As a Christian, as a believer, God, he wants some things for us because we are here living and we're not robots. He doesn't control us and make us do one thing or the other. He gives us a free will to choose him and how to live in this side of heaven. And then he tells us what he's going to do. And here is no different. As he tries to delete the doubts of his disciples, as he tries to wipe out some of the things and the thoughts and the worries that they have, he begins with, "Let not your heart be troubled." Can I just tell you today, God is still today wanting his people to not be troubled with the cares of this life and the worries that are going on, but to realize that he is sovereign, that he cares about you, that if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his knowing that he loves you, he cares for you, he is going to take care of his church until he returns for it. And his book is settled forever in heaven. Hey folks, we still got some things today that they don't have. We got some things today just like we had yesterday. No president can change power and all of a sudden now we're destitute of all God's promises and his power. All of a sudden we don't have a mission to go after anymore. All of a sudden we ought to cower in the corner with fear and hush up all the counsel of God. No, no, no. We'll throw out the doubt and we'll step forward in faith and we'll go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. That isn't something he can do for you. You have to do that for yourself. You have to step up in faith as a believer and say, listen, I know the world's bad. It's been bad before. And God has always come through. And if he's still God, I'll do what I can do to be me. And I'll be the best me I can be. And I'll believe all of God's promises. And I'll go forward in faith. That mission gauge over there. Man, every time we get to that place where, man, can we meet that again? We got a brand new year. We got to do it again, folks. But I know this. I've learned in my few years on this side of my mother's womb that God is faithful. If I tell him, God, if you'll give it through me, then I'll give it back to you. When I show up, God always sends and takes care of his side of it. God always shows up and makes sure that it's there so that I can give it. Listen, there are people still on the field because the gospel still has power. And they need us to be faithful. He says here, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be fearful. You know, in a time like this, you know what most people, they begin to hold tight to things. Well, I don't know what's coming. Maybe I ought to store a little bit more back because I don't know what's coming. Man, I think it is good to store up. Amen. But that paper money, can I tell you, when the whole thing goes broke, everybody's broke. For those of you that think that you can stick your money in silver and gold, try to eat it. Amen. Who in the world is going to trade a piece of bread for a piece of silver? Nobody. Okay. Amen and amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. I'm just here to tell you, we worry about the craziest things in this life, and I'm going to tell you, if we don't watch out, we cannot let our heart get troubled by the current day. We must go forward by faith and live for God just like we always have. We've got to just trust in him that he's going to take care of us, and yes, gas could get more expensive, but just trust God to bring the money in someplace else or to make something else cheaper to take care of, doing what you've always done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Most of us look around and we believe in all those things. We believe in all the stars. And I understand what he was saying to his disciples. Hey, if you had faith in an almighty God, then have faith in me the same way. That's what he's saying to them. He's saying, I'm Jesus. I'm the promised one. I'm the one. Don't be worried. If he's God, then I'm God. And you can trust us both. And just go forward by faith. I thank God that I'm not my own, that I'm bought with a price. And listen, if the wheels come off of this car, it's his car still. Amen. I'm his. And I realize this. Nobody wants to come fix my car for me. Amen. Nobody wants to check the oil for me. It's my car. But I thank God for the day that I gave myself over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't worry about all those things. I realize with Marissa and all that, I mean, it's recent for me. Somebody I went to college with. Listen, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, folks. I realize that my breath is in his hand. I could run on the treadmill till I'm blue in the face. And I mean until I'm blue in the face. And it's still, listen, it's his breath. I could eat the best I ever wanted to eat, and it's still in his hand. And I mean, we've heard it preached because of all the fear of the virus that's out there and all the things that's going on. But again, I got to tell you, God is still God. He's still on the throne, and nobody on planet Earth is going to die before their time. Not one person is going to die before their time, before God says it's time. That's just how it is. And it don't matter what took them. Don't matter whether a bus got them or whether COVID got them or something else got them. They're going to heaven. Even if they kept a mask on and they didn't get COVID, a bus is going to get them. I'm telling you right now, God is sovereign, and he is going to take you home when it's time. He says, in my Father's house, I'm thankful for the place I know I'm going. So listen, direct your emotions. If you're taking notes this morning, let me give you the point instead of just preaching. Amen. Direct your emotions in a right way. We are emotional people. God made us that way. I believe God is emotional. I believe God is broken over our sin. I believe Jesus wept. I believe that if he came to earth and he was broken and sorrowed over things, then yes, it's right for us to sorrow over some things. But the Bible says we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. The Bible doesn't say we don't sorrow. It just realizes we've got a different perspective, and we can't get our emotions bound up in the up and down circumstances of this life. We've got to stay steady and believe that God is God and that he's still true. We know where we're going. We understand that we need to determine who God is and then decide to follow him. That's what happened at the end of this verse. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then number three, discover the details of our faith. One of the things that I believe hinders Christians most in this life is they only go so far in their study of the Word of God. And they don't understand the promises of God. They don't know all that God has told them is already going to be true, that God already has for them. Sometimes they never get their foundation firmly planted where it ought to be, to the place that they can stand in faith. They can't help but lose faith and have some doubt because they don't know all that God has promised them. One of the things God has promised us is a place. Almost everybody knows that there's a heaven, but how many times do we think when we're dealing with an illness that it would be better to be there than to be here? How many times when we think about this life and when we try to hang on to it, do we realize that there's a better place prepared for the saint, a better rest than we ever could have on this side of heaven? And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to cling to this life, to be here for your family or to serve God. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying we ought to prepare ourselves and have the right mindset and realize that there's a better place for the saint. We're not going to destruction. We're not headed to the devil's hell. We're headed to a heaven if we've trusted in Jesus Christ with all our faith and all our hope. Put our faith in the finished work of Christ. Have you ever thought about when we think from a heavenly perspective, when we here on earth, and I mean, this week preparing for the funeral really brought these things to my mind. And I think from an earthly perspective, we see a departure, but heaven sees an arrival. I mean, when we think about it that way, we don't just think of that. We think a separation, but heaven sees a reunion. Think about what heaven, the perspective from one side to the other. When we think about death and a grave, heaven thinks of arrival and a gateway. Sometimes if we could just put ourselves in the right perspective. I told a young man not too long ago, he is having trouble with everybody. And I finally had to sit him down and go, you have trouble with everyone. You are the common denominator. Okay? And I said, I want to help you. I want to help you to be able to get along with other people. I said, when they begin to talk or you begin an encounter, I want you to put yourself in their shoes. Don't think about yourself or what's going on in your world or how much time you have or what's going on where you're at. I said, take off your shoes and your problems and then walk over there and just put their shoes on and start to think about where they are, what their needs are, how they're approaching you. Maybe they're having a terrible day. And now all of a sudden I want to have a soft answer with them. All of a sudden, I want to deal totally different with them. You know, it helps us sometimes in this life when we know the details of a situation. That's what happens when you put someone else's shoes on. We walk over there and we try to take that perspective of their mind. Let not my heart be troubled. You know, when I start to think about what God's doing in this world and what his plans are for me, it's hard for me to get down in the dumps. It's hard for me to get worried when I realize that I am in the hand of God and that
I'm in the Father's hand, and that He's got me in His hand. The Lord Jesus got me in His hand. Can I just tell you, it's hard for me to get worried when I realize that God's got His hands on me as a Christian. Folks, if we would just live that way, it would help us with a lot of our doubts, a lot of our worries in this life. It'd help us move on. It'd help us to discover our faith and to start looking at it from a heavenly perspective rather than an earthly perspective. Maybe from a godly perspective. Definitely from a scriptural perspective. Most churches that get off and people that leave, they want to look at things from the earth's perspective, from a worldly perspective. Well, you're just haters. No, I hate what God hates. Because it's in this book. And it tells me how to live. I'm not a hateful person. I've got commands. I've got laws. I've got rules. I've got promises that I have to live by as a Christian. You say, Brother Parsons, what does God say next about this, getting rid of doubts? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He said that, I love this. He said, if in my Father's house are many mansions. And I mean, He gives us some details of things that we can look forward to. But He says in the verse, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That means that not just is it a place, but it's personal to me. He's gone to prepare a place for me. And then beyond that, He says, and if I go. Do you know there's not many ifs in this book when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? But now He's giving you, because it's still preluding. He's talking to a pack of Jews that needed a sign. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Folks, we're still waiting for that. I know that He left. I've got it recorded in Scripture how He took off like Superman into the sky. I know just as sure as I'm alive and as sure as I'm saved that the Lord Jesus Christ took off to prepare a place for His saints just like He said He did. And then He promised in chapter 14, verse number 3, He says that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And then He puts the details again. Do you know how He builds our faith? And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Can I tell you why Thomas doubted? He missed a Sunday school class along the way. When the pastor was teaching about something, that details about heaven and something that he needed, he was on his phone. Amen? Sunday night, they showed up. Instead of listening to the preaching, they were watching the Super Bowl. Nobody would do that. Or sure watching the score. You say, Brother Parsons, come on now. I'm just telling you. He gets to this place and Jesus is clearly telling us. And I don't believe He'd say it unless He had been over this area for them. He says, whether I go, ye know. You know He just said that? I'm in my Father's house. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. I don't think any of us are going to take this Bible and say, what is He talking about? We can understand it. Thomas should have been able to understand it. And then Thomas says unto him, ye know not whether, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? I can only imagine. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, sometimes my patience gets tested with people. I have children. I have teenagers. My patience gets tested. You know, after you say something, I worked at the college for a long time. And then you'd say, this is going to be on the test. And they go, what's going to be on the test? That will test your patience, folks. Absolutely. So here, Jesus has spent all this time with His disciples, and now He's confronted with a question after He's going to have to repeat Himself to a certain extent. And I was overwhelmed by thinking, I cannot believe that Jesus, because Jesus, if you go through a lot of these different things, with His disciples, only with the Pharisees is He very sarcastic. With those that should have known, He's very sarcastic with them. But with His disciples, He's very blunt. He doesn't get this sarcastic sound with them. In love, He repeats Himself, and Jesus saith unto him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. I realize this, when I'm trying to delete doubt, one of the verses that I hold on to, as a young preacher, one of the ones that I learned very early in my ministry and I quoted often was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It helps me to know details about my Savior. He says, he doesn't tell him again about heaven. He doesn't go off on this tangent in a doxology of all the things that could ever have been in the Old Testament and now have come true in the New. And he doesn't do that. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Folks, in the lowest parts of my life, the hardest times to have faith, I realize that Jesus is always going to be the way. I want to always go in his direction. When I'm looking for truth, I'm always looking to Jesus. He's always going to help me find truth. He's always going to put me right on the street that I need to be on to know what is right and what is wrong. He's always going to put me right in the place of where this is truth and this is error. And as I've grown older, I don't think I understood the life part. I know he's the resurrection and the life, and I know that's future for me. But since I've decided to live the Christian life to its fullest, I've realized that that part means so much more to me. It has a dual purpose in my life. My wife and I and our children, as we discussed about all the things and talked to our children about taking the pastorate and that it was going to come to a vote, we began to discuss, and it was hard for me. I didn't realize how long we had been here. My children have been in this place. They have never spent an accumulated amount of time in any place. This is home for them. They've grown up here. This is home for me. And as we talked about all those things, I began to think, this is the life. I left a place that, like Preacher talks about Georgia, the place I come from, man, I think it's heaven on earth. I think it's the greatest place. I think all those things like Pastor does about Georgia, but I realize this, the best life for me wasn't there because God's will was for me to be here. And when I knew that, I left everything behind, all our family and all our people, because Jesus is the life. I want to be smack dab in the middle of his will, and I realized that I could have all the family grouped around me, but that wouldn't bring happiness. I could have a business that made millions of dollars, but that would not bring happiness. I needed to be with Jesus and in his will, right in the middle of his will. Folks, today, to the Christian, Jesus is more than just the way to heaven. He's our truth. He's our foundation. And beyond that, he is not just the resurrection and the life, but he is the life on this side of heaven. Every day, when I wake up in the morning, I want to say, hello, Jesus. Hello, God. I want to talk to you this morning. Thank you for keeping me through the night. I want to have a relationship with him. Folks, today, as I consider taking the church and thinking about all those things, I thought, man, where would I be today if someone had never told me about Jesus? Who would I have married if I hadn't got married in a church and hadn't have found all the things that God wanted for me in this life? I thought, what would my children be doing today if I hadn't raised them in church? I thought so many things about all this life, and then I thought to myself, on your first Sunday to preach, who should you preach? I preach Jesus. He's everything to me, folks. And if you're here, and I know there's so many of you, you've showed up today because he's everything to you. But there are folks that have come in the building today knowing that church is a good place to be, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know him as their Savior. They don't know if they died today that they go to heaven. They're like a traveler. I heard a story of a traveler on his way to Boston. And as he headed there, he began uncertain of his way. He came to a fork in the road, and there was a young man standing beside the highway. And he said to the young man, where is Boston? And the young man said, sir, I do not know where Boston is, but that is the road to get there. You see, folks, in this life, I have never seen heaven. And I have never seen Jesus face to face. But I've read about him in his book. And his book told me that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man is going to come to the Father but by Jesus. So you say, Brother Parsons, how do I get to heaven? The only way you can go is through Jesus. The only way you can go is through the finished work of Christ of Calvary and rising again on the third day. The only way you can be saved and know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your home is to accept him as your personal Savior. Those of you that have done that today, boy, I tell you what, this is truly the life. And for those of you that don't know him, you can enter into that life today if you'll simply accept him as your Savior. We'll have an invitation and the music will play. You say, I've never been in an old-fashioned church like this. Well, when the music plays, you can step out and I'll meet you in the front. And we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus as your personal Savior. That's why we met together today, to be encouraged from the Word, but also to tell others that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Would you bow your heads and stand with me this morning? I'm going to pray. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, maybe you're here and you say, Brother Parsons, preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up if you're like that today? If you're in the building and you want me to pray for you, say, I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere that would slip it up and let me pray for you? I see that hand. Thank you for raising your hand this morning. Is anybody else that would be honest with God and me? No one looking around but me and God. You'd slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Is there any others in the building? Those that raise their hand this morning, I pray, as I pray, would you just step out and make your way to the front while everyone's head's bowed and we're praying? I'd ask you, I'm going to pray for you just like I said I would, but I would love for you to know that before you leave here today. As we pray, would you step out? Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for knowing where I'm going. I thank you for Jesus coming and dying on Calvary and paying for my sins and giving me a home in heaven. But as he rose again from the dead, God, I pray today for the one that I did see their hand and maybe others that didn't raise their hand or I didn't see it. God, I pray that you would help them, give them strength and give them courage to step out of the aisle and make their way to the front where they can accept Christ as their Savior. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? As Brother Bert sings, I'll meet you in the front.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood
this morning and be in an attitude of prayer. We've had somebody come forward, but I believe that there's others in the room that's here and not sure they're saved. I ask you now to pray for them, that God would give them courage to step out and come down the aisle. In a church service like this, many of you may have done that and you remember what it was like and how hard it was as you gripped the pew and you hoped that it would end before you stepped down and came to the front. But this morning, if you're tossed between doubt and belief, the best thing you could do for yourself is to step out and receive the Savior as your own, as your own personal Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll give you an opportunity to step out and to come down and be saved, as Brother Bert sings another.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears,